It all started with one.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to get started today.
It all started with one. It all started with one. I'm putting on like a sweater when the breeze out. The weather of them fees out. Summertime, my knees out. Can't believe I ever sag.
Getting y'all hip to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Let's go.
First time when I sat inside that treehouse. My niggas starting businesses. Ain't even got degrees now. My niggas with degrees, man. They out here selling weed now. Pendulum swinging like Alan Green now. Got that kind of staff that can turn a dope fiend now. Have them saving money just to do some better things now. All the children in the project feel like they in sweet snap. Man, they said we from the bottom, but I do not see how. When the people with the money wanna look like me now, looking like my kids got that.
Now that's a dope line. How you gonna say we from the bottom and the people that's, you know, the people that's telling us we on the bottom, they wanna be like us and look like us. Let's keep going.
Ass like my queen now. Money cannot buy that type of shit, you bleed out. Come up to the promised land and come and see what we bout. Crabs in the bucket, but my bucket pushing me out.
Okay, so it's hard for me to keep this song going because I'll mess around and play the whole song. My man said crabs in the barrel, but the barrel is pushing me out. Let's go. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. It's all love, baby. Welcome to the Ken's Corner podcast, and I am your host, Ken. And as you can tell by the enthusiasm in my voice, I am excited today. But first of all, I want to start off by thanking everyone for being here. Happy MLK Day out there today. Man, happy MLK Day. Listen, this is what I need you to do. Let me get through the preliminaries and then I'm just going to get right into why I am so excited today. First and foremost, thank you to all my listeners. Welcome to episode number 41 of the Ken's Corner podcast. Now, this is what I need you to do. If you're listening for the first time, or if you're just still listening, continue to subscribe. I really need you to subscribe to wherever you consume your podcast content. Subscribe. And then when I subscribe, then I need you to download, stream. And then I need you to share, retweet, like. You can find me on all social media from Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on Ken's Corner Podcast. Now, I've been hitting about a change for a minute to the podcast, and the one thing about this is that I'm allowing myself to evolve and grow. And the aspects, or even the name Ken's Corner, again, growing up where I grew up, you stood on a corner and you talked to people. You talked to your homeboys, or you talked to people you just met, you know, on a corner. So I needed to talk to somebody. And what a better way to start off my podcast than a recording artist out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mr. Steph Simon. What's going on, good brother?
Man, bro, thank you for having me, man. Like, for real, this is a blessing, man. Appreciate you having me. Shout out to everybody listening, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. Hey, first of all, trying to get out this cold ass weather that we have right here, man. We didn't get the snow, like northeast, but we got the rain and the sleet and all that other bull crap. And was late to church today because, first of all, my dog had to run, and then my doors were shut, frozen shut. it was a wild day.
A nice, strong little smell.
Right. So it was like, okay, I guess you're not going to church today, man. Man, I had to.
God got other plans for you. Right.
I had to start off with that song, man. I'm just going to. So let me give everybody a little background. Again, you know, I'm always willing to listen to what the voice of God says and how he put things in your life, and you just have to be ready to jump on it. I don't believe in luck. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and this is a great opportunity to listen to somebody else. And so after I go through this, I'm just going to start asking questions and then shut the hell up and let this brother just go. We have a mutual friend who plugged us together. He actually was telling me about the hip hop scene in Tulsa, and he knows I'm a hip hop head. He knows I have this platform. And so the first time he put it in our text group, I glanced at it, and I'm not gonna lie, you know, I ain't gonna sit here and say I took it to the lab the first time. I glanced at it, and I'm like, oh, okay. I heard a couple songs, but I didn't get to your, I didn't get to Brother Steph's songs yet. I listened to these other guys. So I'm like, okay, not bad. You know, a little conscious rap. I'm cool with that. And so maybe a few weeks later, he texts me on the side. He was like, Cam, man, have you, did you get this in the group? And I'm like, yeah, bro, I just didn't have time to listen to it. So I had a few minutes, and then I just like read your story. And so I'm not going to tell your story. So why don't you go ahead and educate the, you know, the people of the world. Who is Steph Simon? And I'm going to let you go. We're going to start there. Who are you, man? What are you about? How did you get started? Go ahead and go, my brother.
Already, well, my name is Steph Simon. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I represent North Tulsa, man. I represent Black Wall Street. I embody Black Wall Street. And that's what I bring to the table when you hear me as the artist. I paint pictures of where we're at now. I thrive off our history because I believe that you can't go forward without knowing where you came from, you know what I'm saying? And finding out where we really, truly came from just in the 100 years ago aspect really lit a fire under me musically. Mm-hmm. And kind of got me walking tall, because walking tall out here, being from Tulsa, was kind of, you know what I'm saying? You're not LA, you're not Chicago, you're not. And Ohio rappers probably feel the same way, but there has been rappers that's made it from Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? But I know they feel the same way, not being from one of those major cities where music thrives. So it kind of gave me a sense of confidence and just walking tall with my head up. Like, I don't need to be from New York. I'm from Tulsa, you know what I'm saying? So that's really where what I am. I helped build one of the biggest hip hop communities in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I also created and founded World Culture Music Festival, which is the biggest hip hop festival in Oklahoma itself. So I do a little bit in the town, and I just try to make my music resonate, you know what I'm saying? Music just I feel like it don't stick anymore, and I try to bring that aspect to the table. So
okay, so another backstory to catch my listeners up. So we talked briefly once, and
yeah,
I told you after that I need to live with your music, because anything that I'm going to endorse, anything I'm going to talk about, I'm going to be honest. And so I'm a firm believer, you know, we grew up, you know, you and I are just, I'm a little older than you, but we still grew up in the time of the God body. You know what I'm saying? If you got something to say to somebody, you say it to their face. You don't go around right. with the sub tweets and all that. So the first thing right. that really took me was how engaging you are. And then listening to your music, you embody Tulsa. And so I want to talk about, I'm going to let you tell a story, but I want you to tell a story about when you you auditioned for that A&R and what that A&R told you, because I wrote that down. And
yeah,
I'm not,
man.
So go ahead and, because I'm going to go ahead and talk about that, if you could speak on that for me.
Okay, so I went to 2007, summer of 2007. I went to L.A. to meet my cousin, one of my best friends is related to Chance Martin, which is a very known, credible producer, super producer in California. And so I travel out there to meet them and just hang out in California. And I'm at a football camp and helping these kids. And one of the coaches was like, hey, man, I know a guy that works at Interscope. He's a manager for artist named Dollar. And he calls him, and he answers the phone. And dude, I can't remember his name, but I remember the conversation. And I remember him asking me to rap. And at that time, I'm so hungry. I'm like, anybody asks me to rap, I just start going. I remember being in the middle of the street on Fairfax and just rapping on my phone, and I'm right on the spot. And he's listening to me when I get done. He's like, "Hey, man, that's tight. Where you from?" And I go, "I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma." And he goes, "What?" Like, "Man, don't ever tell nobody you from Tulsa, Oklahoma." Mm. And that was it. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's like, "I can't do nothing with that. Like, I can't do nothing with that." And hung up the phone. And I remember just that. That was like a defining moment of my whole sound of and how I wanted to rap, because that threw me for a loop. Mm-hmm. And I would always wonder why the artists that were from here, mm-hmm. that would go off and make it and get signed, but they would never, like, you'll see them in XXL, but it'll never say they were from Tulsa, Oklahoma. It will say that they're from the city that they made it in. And I always wondered if they had to go through that too. Because they'll be like, "I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm from LA. I'm from New York." And they'll be from here. And I always wondered if they had to go through that. But when I heard somebody tell me that, it just pissed me off so much that was all I wanted to rap about. Like, I used to hate where I was from until that conversation. And it made me, like, just go so hard for where I was from, because me being from Tulsa, I know everything about Houston music by listening to a select of Houston artists. I know a lot about Chicago by listening to Common. You got mm-hmm. Kanye. You got, you know what I'm saying? You got Twista. You got Do or Die. You got mm-hmm. Crucial Conflict. Mm-hmm. They make you feel like you from Chicago when you hear it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with
Chief Keef.
Kendrick. Okay, all the way to Chief Keef, and Compton. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know everything about Compton. Mm-hmm. Listening to DJ Quick. Listening to, you know what I'm saying? It's the list go on. Atlanta. You got Andre 3000 and Big Boy painting pictures of. Everybody wrote the martyr through the hood. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, so when you go to Atlanta and you see the martyr, you're like, damn, I heard this in the, okay, you know what I'm saying? So, exactly. So it made me say, how come they can talk about where they from, but this guy from Interscope is telling me never bring up where I'm from? Like, so, and then later on down the line, I want to say I found out about Black Wall Street. Mm-hmm. About two years after that.
Okay.
And that's when it was like,
the light bulb
went. Ah, I'm really about to talk about where I'm from. Like, we the originators, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when it just really clicked.
All right,
and I was like, all right, it's full steam.
So before we're gonna delve into that, because I want to make sure we let that really breathe. But I want to go back to that conversation, because even before you told me that conversation, and when I looked at your, I think the video was for Upside, and it's just that painted that picture. You painted a very vivid picture that wasn't, like a caricature. I could tell, like, this is what you really about. You know, this is what Tulsa's about. And then even listening to your music, you talk about, you know, the car scene in Tulsa. You talk about how, you know, you wash your cars, or you don't even really take it to the car mat. You know what I mean? To the car.
Yeah, we you manual. Don't, we
yeah,
manual.
Y'all do manual. Like, and so that's car washing. And so you really painted a very vivid picture. And so when we did talk, and you made that statement, it brought it 360, you know, it brought it all together to me. I'm like, okay, sense. So yeah, this is why he goes so hard for Tulsa, because right. in your music, is even going back to your album, Visions from the Tisdale, that right there, can you speak on what that mean? Like, where did that why was that? I understand it, but if you can tell my listeners or tell the listeners, like, you know, what inspired you even from that particular title?
So that was the first album that I did want to just take on embodying in my city and about an album. And Tulsa being called Thug Town for so long, I always ran from making an album about the city because I'm not a thug. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a street cat. I'm from Northside. I'm from North Tulsa. I'm from the hood. I'm from the same street and blocks that everybody is from. But I know who I am as a person, and I'm not going to get on these records and shoot them up bang bang for nobody if that ain't me. So I always shied away from making an album. I didn't want to make it sound like Thug Town. So I told myself, they're going to get how I came up in this city, whether they like it or not, you know what I'm saying? And the LL Tisdale is a highway, LL Tisdale Parkway. It's a highway that goes up on this big hill in Gilchrist Hills out north. And Wayman Tisdale's dad, is named after Wayman Tisdale's dad, which is LL Tisdale. He's a very famous pastor, and the Tisdales is a very, like, one of the most known families in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And so that highway everyone takes, like, coming from out north, a lot of people take that highway, and you can see the whole north side, like, from up, from at the very top of it. You get to a point where you can see the whole north of Tulsa, and it's a nice, just a nice scenery, because you got the skyline to the right, and you got all these trees and like everything that I'm naming, you know what I'm saying, on the song, it's like you can picture it from up there. So that's where it really all started, and that's like a landmark. That street is like a landmark, and I just wanted people to feel like they were riding it when you hear it. So yeah, man, that's where that came from. You know what I'm saying? So.
And as a listener and a consumer and someone who loves hip hop, I really appreciate that, because everything you said is 100% right. Growing up where I grew up, you know, before there was Bone, you know, we had this group called Brothers of the Struggle, and it's a song called Ready Rocks. I mean, if you from Cleveland and grew up, you know, when I grew up, you knew Ready Rocks, and, you know, and we just thought that was, you know, just to hear that in the city, you know, I'm thinking this worldwide, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't until I went away to college and people didn't know that song. And so it was a thing. Okay.
I know. I'm going to look it up.
Right. So just like you said, you know, but because New York and Chicago and L.A., I knew, like you said, I knew everything about, you know, L.A. from MC8 and DJ Quick and N.W.A. So that was my era. And then, you know, I knew everything about New York through, you know, Boogie Down Productions and Big Daddy Kane and, you know, that whole clique and, you know, that whole thing. But as hip hop evolved and it became more regional, you know, as an A&R, you know, I would want somebody from Tulsa. Like, you know, that's, to me, is untapped area. And so
that's how I feel. Like, yeah. I feel like we're what's missing. I feel like our story is what's missing, and I think that's how we're gonna slap people in the face, and it's gonna be a great sneak attack, because nobody, we're not on anyone's radar, but we have a story that everybody, we've heard all the New York stories, and we've heard all the Florida stories,
right,
and we've heard all the Texas stories, and we've heard all the Compton stories, and it's like, that's what rap is right now. Everybody's kind of sounding the same. Mm-hmm. Because the internet is, the identity is kind of taken out of the game because the internet. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know what I'm saying? So we're coming from an untapped place where it's sports, you know what I'm saying? It's a big sports place, college football or it's the Thunder. Mm-hmm. But musically, people are gonna be like real shocked to hear what we gotta say. You know what I'm saying, and what we bring to the table, just the entrepreneurial spirit and a free spirit that what we're about to bring to the game is what's missing. You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be cool to see.
So one of the things I really took away from listening to your projects between the first time that we briefly talked until today, you seem to have a real strong passion spiritually. The entrepreneurial aspect comes out in your music, and it's just really, it's just really authentic. And just a real quick funny story. Like, I went to college with a brother from Tulsa. I don't want to say his name because he up there, you know, in corporate America, and I just don't know who is listening.
Exactly.
So, I don't know
what got for you, man.
Right. I don't know what can and can't get people fired. But the funniest thing was how we met, and then I never forget, we was playing basketball. This is one of my funniest stories in my life. And me and him on the same team, and at the time I had a quick temper. I'm not even gonna lie. I was a talker on the court, and we was playing these dudes from New York, and it's so funny that you say that. And so dude went up, and my man, you know, gave him a good foul, and dude was like, you know, don't touch me no more. You know, that whole back and forth. And I never forget, he was like, dude to start talking like, man, you know, I'm from New York, man. You know, he started talking about, you know, that tough talk, you know, that pre-fight talk. And I never forget, it was 3 seconds of quiet. He was like, I don't give a damn where you from. I'm from Tulsa.
Yeah, man, like for real, bro. Like, for real, that's how it is.
And when he said that, I looked at him, I said, oh, yeah, I'm rolling with this dude from here on out, man. That's my bro.
We're like that because we ain't got nothing to lose mentality. Mm-hmm. And we feel like don't nobody give a fuck about us. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, I don't care where you from, dude. I'm from Tulsa. If you can survive Tulsa, like, you good anywhere, honestly.
He was like, I don't give a damn where you from. I was like,
for real. He's probably fought like 10 people, like, playing basketball here. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, for real.
All right, so I want to touch on, let me go back. I just had to tell that story. He going to probably be mad at me. He going to laugh because me and that's my brother. That's my big brother. Going back, so now we done went from the tip. So now born on Black Wall Street. And one of the things that, you know, one of the great things about the internet and certain things, how now stories are being told. And although this is a famous story for those of us outside of Tulsa, I would like for you to speak on how Black Wall Street affected you, even though you weren't living during that time, but how it affected you as a black man growing up in Tulsa. And also speak, well, let's talk about that, then we'll go into the Tulsa massacres. But let's speak on the Black Wall Street aspect.
So I'm going to tell you how it affected me. I hope it don't sound too deep.
Okay.
But I think about this all the time. And so that's only 100 years ago when it was active. Mm-hmm. And the refurbished version was only 80 years ago.
Okay.
So that's two or three grandmas away. So if you put it into perspective of a wealthy white family,
mm-hmm.
that passes down. We still have buildings here from 100 years ago and companies that are like 80 years, 50 years, 60 years going companies. So companies and traditions and morals and codes and ethics that are passed down from generation to generation, it disappeared for me, and people like me, mm-hmm. just disappeared for about three eras, mm-hmm. and came back as crack. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It came back as gangbanging, and it came back as a whole nother lifestyle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That we inherited and picked up on. And for me, how it affected me is it felt like we came from nothing, and it felt like we were from, like, North Tulsa is so secluded from the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's almost like it's not a part of the city unless it's on the news. for some bass. That's the only time. You know what I'm saying? So it's for so long, you just felt like you came from nothing. You came from this shithole ass place, and you're from the hood. You're from the ghetto, and you ain't gonna never be nothing unless you play football or basketball to make it out. And that's how I felt growing up out there until I found out where I was really from. You know what I'm saying? Finding out that it was like a sabotage. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it affected me. It just and affected a lot of people my age. Just we were just lost. Just lost in the head, not even passing down a business. Like, I think about what my grandfathers and grandmothers owned back then, whether it could have been a laundromat, it could have been a burger spot, it could have been a club, it could have been whatever. But I always think about that all the time, what could have been passed down to my family. But I think about more is the way they carried themselves and the code and the ethics that take years to live by. Like, if you go to Japan, it's very clean, and it's very, like, it's very, everybody is, like, everybody lives with the same, like, hold the door for you when you walk in type of thing, or they don't litter, nobody litters. It's, like, embedded in them to be, like, that way. And, like, certain codes that, and conditioning that we could have picked up from our ancestors back then, we lost them to where you see a nigga at a red light and you mug him, it can easily be a nigga moment, as opposed to if we picked up a certain code of how we see each other, you can see it could be different. You know what I'm saying? Because you see a nigga at a red light and it can be love. But we picked up on a hate, like a hate fuel, which I think is how what affected me, and it sucks because me climbing out of that, it's still a lot of people from the town that ain't climbed out of that mindset. Sometimes I forget that because I'm in my own world making music, and you know what I'm saying? I forget that everybody don't think like me. You know what I'm saying? And it's a tough situation to be in. But that's how it affected me, man. And I just want to bring back the mind state more than the businesses. Like, I want to bring back the trust, you know what I'm saying, for the value, the just like us talking, you know what I'm saying? We clicked right out the gate. Like, black people don't trust black people as quick as they'll trust white, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They'll question the white bank, like they'll question the black-owned bank, and not question Bank of America.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that stole your black money.
Black-owned bank. Yeah, like
put it like, on new and like, put it on the news that you they stole your money.
yeah, like you know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like they'll question, like if it was a black-owned bank, if it's me or you, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you had a grocery store, like, niggas would question your fruit because it came from you, but they're not going to question Mr. Reese's or Walmart. Like, we just don't question, like, white people shit. And I'm trying to bring back that, like, why we question. We cancel each other so quick, like, if we fail or if we succeed, like.
And I look at
every McDonald's don't slap, right?
And
you know what I'm saying?
And I look at that because I'm a history major. So, and when I learned about, you know, Oklahoma and Black Wall Street, I remember the stories of my grandmother talking about how even in Cleveland, a lot of areas of Cleveland were just like black banks. You know, people owning, dry cleaners. And it was that aspect of trust. Now, and one thing I want to always caution my listeners, especially because I really want to make sure I make sure my listeners are intelligent. When we speak about our culture and things of that nature, we know it wasn't a utopia. We understand that even in the, you know, the heights of Black Wall Street in Harlem, there were still elements. There was still an underworld element. There were still people that was, you know, doing crime and doing things. But what you're speaking on is on a larger sense, that this was a whole city, community, Black owned, Black ran. And they had all of those elements. But what you're saying is, what you want to bring back, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you want to bring back that element of togetherness where we can be able to live together with all those elements.
We're going to have to do that first.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to do that first before we can run businesses with each other. We got to not want to steal from each other first. You know what I'm saying?
But even we did that. I mean, that's the thing. Crime, and one thing I always tell people when we talk about this whole Black on Black crime thing, and I'm going to get back to more things, but crime happens in proximity. And so even I'm pretty sure on Black Wall Street, it was some cats out there robbing motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody wasn't with it. Like, everybody wasn't with the movement. Just like everybody wasn't with Martin Luther King. Right. Everybody wasn't with Malcolm X. Right. Like, everybody wasn't with Jesus.
But the difference is what y'all were able to do is to encapsulate it and say, we're going to work within, we're going to embrace the whole thing. And so
and sustain and function, and so we could function through crime. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Black people, like, well, we could still function, and as opposed to, like, here, if I make you a bad sandwich, a nigga gonna go on Facebook and kill me.
Right. Trust me.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these niggas, I'm going to start my own business because these niggas can't cook. I'm going to start my own just to show them. Like, not because you have a passion for being a cook. Like, I just want to do it because I can show them that I'm, like, better than it. Yeah, it's so crazy.
This is the reason why I don't fuck with Black business.
This is the reason why I don't shop with y'all. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, or that. So, exactly. This is the reason why I don't shop with y'all in the first place. Like, I'm going to Wendy's.
Right. And, and they'll mess your sandwich up and you'll go back.
They'll mess your sandwich up.
And you'll go back. You'll go back.
You go back. So, every time.
So let's fast forward. What did the TV show Watchmen do for you as someone from Tulsa? What did that do for you, the TV series Watchmen?
So I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, about to take a Tulsa card away from you, man. Come on, man.
It can't take a Tulsa card away from me. That's why it's called Born on Black Wall Street. They came and shot about us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but if they would have, like, put me up on game. Mm-hmm. But I seen the first episode, all the way, the whole race riot scene. Okay. I seen that. And that was probably the most accurate one that I have seen.
Good, okay.
I can say that.
Okay.
And that was dope. Like, I'm like, man, that was nice. So, but I haven't watched the show. I'm actually, I get to meet the director. I'm going to watch it because I get to meet the director here soon.
Okay.
Because they're coming to Tulsa. Okay. They're coming to Tulsa to talk about the series. Mm-hmm. So I get to go and be a part of that. But what it's done for me, really what it's done for the city, it's like... That was the first, the city's going up right now. It's a lot of attention being drawn on the city, but that was like one of the first waves of, whoa, this happened in Tulsa, you know what I'm saying? And the narrative is always going to be, nobody talks about this American race riot, the original first American race. That's always going to be the narrative, whether... If the whole world is aware of it or not, it's always going to be, nobody's talking about this. So, just being that it was well played like that on HBO, on national TV, it just went crazy. And, it just brought a lot of attention to Tulsa, and a lot of people want to come here and check it out. A lot of people are coming down here just to take pictures because mm-hmm. it's still parts of Black Wall Street, like original mm-hmm. original buildings are still up, but mm-hmm. it's just the land and just being a part of Northside and seeing all these Black people out there just functioning. People just want to come in and take and just breathe that air. So it's drawing a lot of attention to the city, and I'm just happy to be on the front line of that mm-hmm. as far as the music scene go. So
and as
leading that charge.
As a consumer and again as a history major, I saw it and my mouth dropped. I said, "Wow, they were really showing this like this," and it wasn't ambiguous. It was straight to the point. You know, it really just said. And again, this is not an anti white podcast. I'm just gonna tell it like it is because I got listeners in Norway. Shout out to Norway. but it took going back to our conversation about trusting one another. It really took an outside force to destroy it. Like it did. It wasn't. You can't use the crabs in the barrel analogy to this. It took an outside force to destroy this, and a systematic system to cover it up. You know, it was blatant. Yeah. Like you just said, it blatantly happened, but it's not really talked about. But this blatantly happened. And so for me, it just really, like you said, it opened up my eyes even more outside. Like, wow, this really was for real. Now, the series is a good series, but honestly, that first scene for me was the most powerful scene I've seen in movie or TV show in a long time. And so how that's going to segue into my next thing. Now, you talk about the entrepreneurship. You talk about the spirit of Tulsa and that Black Wall Street. Speak upon how the World Cultural Fest, am I saying that right?
Yeah, World Cultural Fest.
Okay, tell me how'd you get that idea, how that started, and then tell my listeners, what is it about?
So, we by nature, we are a DIY city, DIY state, mm-hmm. which is do-it-yourself. Mm-hmm. And because we're in Oklahoma, our resources are limited. We're not yet respected, I would say, by the LAs and New Yorks when we try to reach out. You know what I'm saying? It's no response because it's Oklahoma. And this is a what can you do for me industry.
Right.
So being that we have entrepreneurial spirits, and it's just always something telling you that you can do more than what like a 9-to-5 possess. You know what I'm saying? Whether you enjoy your job or not, you can have two jobs. You can have your own company on the side. You can have, you know what I'm saying? And you can have your job. So the World Culture Music Festival came about just simply not getting the proper shots and opportunities that I felt like I deserved at the time for festivals within the city. Which had like a lot of rock and roll and country music, and mm-hmm. also festivals in the regional, like South by Southwest, and
South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm. other festivals that go on. Just also artists, and I felt like I wasn't getting my just due.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took matters into my own hands, having so many relationships in my own city with our own venues out here. I just took matters into my own hands, and I'm real hands on with so many artists in the town. Like, I'm so hands on with as far as artist development or just looking out, you know what I'm saying? Just looking out and doing speeches and just networking. I'm very hands on out here. And I just took matters to my own hands and lined up all the dates and all the venues, and just organizing shows, time slots, and put my own money up. I was making like $8 an hour, if that, and put my own money up, and developed a festival in a weekend, and it just happened to land on the week of the race riots. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Was the time that we did it. So put it together, it was a success. It was huge. Mm. Like, it was like 1,000 people stuffed in these venues, mm-hmm. just listening to local, all local talent, people from the city, people from New York flew down, people from Virginia came, Kansas City, man, it was people from everywhere, Houston, people from everywhere came on top of Oklahoma City and Tulsa, and it's going on its fifth year. We're getting ready for its fifth year while we're working on year six at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like a year. It turned into a real thing. Like, it's a real job now. And I'm just blessed to see it grow.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that's me finally fulfilling my black business. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Aspect of one of the things that I want to do with outside of music, just running a company. And that's owning and running the World Country Music Festival, which is now we're bringing artists. You know what I'm saying? We booked artists, not too mainstream. We still want to keep like underground DIY artists, mm-hmm. but the big name ones, like it could be an E-40, it could be a DJ Quick. Last year we had Larry Jones. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm a big Currency fan. These are all like underground.
That's my guy, man. Okay.
Yeah, man. Like, these are do-it-yourself kings. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So these are people that I would like to bring to down here to showcase. So yeah, man, World Country Music Festival is going on this fifth year, but we're working on that 2021 year as we speak, because when the 100-year anniversary hit, man, I just feel like the city is going to go crazy. Like, something just told me, I seen all this coming in 2015, like The Watchmen, and mm-hmm. like I said, The Watchmen is just, I was just like one of the first. It's like, it's so many, I feel like it's so much more to come, but I seen all this coming in 2015. Like, it was just, I just wanted to get on board with it. So now that it's 2020, going into 2021, and the city's already like lit like it is right now, I think 2021 we're going to be in the national eye, and I think everybody's going to be able to see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? See what's going on. Like, it's going to be beautiful.
Okay, that's what's up. Now, one thing that you said, because we're going to go ahead and wrap up in a little bit. One of the things that I wrote down a few things, well, that we talked about, but the one thing that you also said the very first time we talked that resonated with me is that we are the first generation of hip hop parents. And in listening to your growth, this from your first album to this one, I can tell there's that growth. For you, coming from where you came from, everything that you know about your city, and you know, like you said, being a first generation hip hop parents, what is it that you feel that you can instill, or what do you feel like you're calling, or you know, what is your time stamp as far as moving the culture forward, and then also moving the culture forward as a family man, or as you know, for our people? What do you feel like your role in that is?
Man, my what's going to cement me and rap music is I'm a father, mm-hmm. and hip hop needs more dad, mm-hmm. point of view. Mm-hmm. It's not a lot of dad point of view in rap. It's like a bachelor pad point of view. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's never been. It's never been a, and not even to say dad rap, but like a solid provider. I'd rather be at home. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Big Boy had one of my favorite raps. A nigga don't want no trouble. A nigga just want to sit back with my gaiters off and watch my little girl blow bubbles. Like, that was one of the... You know what I'm saying? That was, like, one of the most... that was, like, so hard to me as a kid, like, listening to that. You just knew he was a... You knew he was a dad. When he, but I think driving and with being a dad, not even being... like, not even just being a cool dad, but, like, that comes with responsibility of giving game. Like, giving... And that's teaching and that's molding through music. And that's teaching valuables. It's teaching value in your music. And that's what's going to stick and resonate with people. The rest in peace. The last rapper to do it was Nipsey. Like, he just sounded like he was talking to you and giving game to all the gangsters across the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just coaching them every time he said something. You know what I'm saying? And it stuck. And he kept himself accessible. Unfortunately, I feel like he kept himself too accessible. But the words that he was saying, he walked how he talked, you know what I'm saying? And he came off as like a father, a godfather to so many people. But yeah, man, it's really being a dad, man. One of my favorite lines also is Pimp C. We, in an interview we got with some family, man, we getting this paper. Like, he just he just letting people know. Like, it's one of them things, it's a side of rap that doesn't really get that much. All of our rappers don't talk about being married or being a dad. I'm like, I got a song where I'm just like talking about how I'm watching my kids soccer practice from a phone because I'm on tour. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that, these are emotions and feelings and things that we don't, that don't get discussed. It's real hard to perform in another city when your kid got the flu or something. You know what I'm saying? Your kid is sick. It can be anything. It's like real life. It's a lot of real life stuff that go on that we just, that hasn't been spoke on top of the fun. You know what I'm saying? On top of the fun, it's still the party, the bullshit, the fun, the popping bottles, and the rap life that we love so much. But it's still so much else that we can tap into, which is being away from your kids and also like just teaching them what you want to believe, what you believe in, and also not like putting them in a box. Just growing up and breaking generational curses that we grew up conditioned in, you know what I'm saying? And that's stuff that we can talk about through music. And that's why I say things like you said, on Promised Land, if I can tell kids we're not from the bottom, you know what I'm saying? Rich people want to look like y'all. We run the fastest over here. We not paying for summer camps to run this fast, to jump this high, or dress like this. We just do this naturally. And this is what people spend $40,000 a year on to be like, or get their face and ass to look like, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, people spend all this money
to look like us,
to be like us. How are we from? Why are we from the, we not from the bottom, man. That mean we at the top. If people spend money to get like us, that mean we at the top. So it's like it's a perspective kind of thing that I try to change, because that's what kids is going around still thinking they from the bottom, and that ain't the case. Well, really, we breathe the air. Our noses are bigger. You know what I'm saying? We breathe air easily. Like, it's everything we got is natural. Well, that's not from the bottom. That's actually bro, we actually are more blessed and more, you know what I'm saying, just more and more prepared. So that's the kind of thing that I'm gonna leave my step on is understanding your true self. And we don't believe in ourselves enough. But that comes from a fatherless era. You know what I'm saying? It comes from a fatherless era. So growing up, I know how to fight.
Right, and that's the narrative, and I think that. And so that's how you know when you vibe it with a good brother, man. Because but I'm not gonna cut it short just because of that. But I am gonna be mindful of our time. But one thing I do want to kind of add to what you just said is the narrative. I think that for me, it is okay. I didn't have the father that I would have wanted, so I became that. And so,
right.
What I hear in your music, and you, again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Is I use the example or the saying, I made it in spite of, not because of, but my kids are going to make it because of, not in spite of, because I'm going to work my ass off to do it. Is that a feeling that you had, or is that an experience you had? Because I saw an interview that you said you were raised by both your mom and your dad. So you were blessed in that. But do you feel like there were certain things that you made it be in spite of and not because of, or if that wasn't your story, you know, what do you feel like your story was to help?
Well, I'm very conscious of those that didn't grow up with their dads. Cause I was like the only kid in my whole neighborhood that had both parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, all my friends just had their moms. Mm-hmm. They just lived with their moms, you know what I'm saying? And they had all the things that child support would bring, which was like they had all the shoes, they had all the PlayStation games, they had all the stuff, you know what I'm saying? But I had like my mom and my dad, but I ain't had like none of the toys and stuff like that. So it was, I didn't really understand that till I got older. But as far as my was really, I made it, and I feel like I'm making it off of, I don't really want to say in spite of, you know, I would say because of, and that's right or wrong. Like,
right.
My parents got a divorce when I was 16, I felt like my friends, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like right after, like instantly, I'm like, hey, this is how they feel, you know what I'm saying? But because everything they taught me, I feel wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had to like, they was just following tradition and conditioning and religious beliefs that they was just didn't question and just went with, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And things like, you know what I'm saying? So I'll say because of all the way is I took all the great things that my mom and my dad gave me and I ran with it and I projected it out into my music, but I was also very conscious of those that are doing it without either parent, you know what I'm saying? So, I lost my mom's when I was 20, and my pops is still here.
Mm-hmm.
We talk every day. Mm-hmm. He's blowing on my phone right now. 49ers must be winning. He's a 49er fan, so they must be winning because he's blowing me up.
Yeah,
but,
they was running out.
So, man, like, our parents are just grown. Because I'm a parent now, we ain't nothing but grown, unfinished people trying to raise, you know what I'm saying, kids. We're not the mastered versions of ourselves.
Of ourselves.
So it's like we just making sure we get to 18. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I would say because of, though,
okay.
It's one of them. I think I would say because of.
and we're not a monolithic group. You know, we have our different experiences. And I think one of the things that I want to always use my platform to say is that it's not just one particular way. It's several ways to success. So in closing, I want to, how can people get in contact with you? What's your social media? And I know the world culture. Now, I'm telling you now, talk to our common friend. And he's working on getting me down there because he was just mentioning it. And just in casual conversation, I was like, oh, snap, man, that sounds like something I want to be a part of. You know, just to be a part of it. And he was like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. So he's trying to work something out. So what I want to do, if I'm able to make it, as far as I'm concerned, I've locked it into my calendar. So it's just me, you know, maneuvering, okay, getting there. Me and you got to sit down and do a face-to-face, bro, because, like I said,
yeah, for sure.
I can tell, you know, my producer just gave me the look as far as the time is concerned, and I want to be mindful of our time and everything, but I can always tell good people. But let everybody know, how can they reach you and everything, so I know what to tag and everything when I put this out.
Okay. Yeah, man, Steph Simon. I keep it simple. So it's Steph X Simon, STEPHX Simon, SIMON. That's on any platform that you use. Twitter, IG, Facebook. I'm on all of them, and I'm active on all of them. That's StephXSimon or StephXSimon.com, man. That's where you can find me. I'm on Apple Music, Tidal, Spotify, Google Play, whatever you prefer. Search Steph Simon. Look out for me on the Rolling Stone. I'm going to be in the Rolling Stone magazine in February. Look out for that.
Okay,
and,
okay.
That's going to be dope. And shout out to Brand J for making that happen. And I'll be in L.A. February 1st at the L.A. Glass Center.
Okay.
If you're in L.A. and you're listening to this, come holler at me at the L.A. Glass Center in El Segundo. February 1st, man, at noon, 12 o'clock, lunchtime. We're going to be performing at this art festival there, and it's free.
Okay.
So, if y'all in the L.A. area and y'all listening, come through.
Well, hey, man, I want to say, first and foremost, this is, I felt that it was no better way to kick off the evolution of my podcast and to have someone of your caliber. This is the first. I can guarantee you this won't be the last, because there was just several things that you said that I took notes of, and we could talk a whole nother hour just on certain different points that you said.
I mean, so. I know. And really, bro, honestly, just hit me up too.
Yeah, we're going to do that offline, yeah. Because I like the conversation, especially, you know, I love all people. However, I really love the conversation of the black man and the different narratives and experiences that we can bring. And so it's several things. I took notes. And so we're going to, you know, like I say, wrap offline and everything, but in a setting where we can get that conversation across the nation and the world, I think is very important and intentional. So this is the first, but I guarantee you it's not going to be last. I want to thank you so much. Please, 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 please listen, my listeners. I need you to go out right now and get Steph Simon, get Black Wall Street. Stream it. Born on Black Wall Street, excuse me. And then Visions from the Tisdale. Get that, stream it. Party and Bullshit was my number one song, but then, yeah, Right Time. Promised Land is really now my number one song now. I ain't gonna lie.
Right time.
Real talk. I was listening to that on the way to church. Because it was one of those, I said, I'm listening to this, and it's going to be the intro. So I was going to come with the Gap Band, but I said, no, I'm going to come with your music. So I want to thank you very much. Thank you to all my listeners, man. You can find me on all major streaming platforms. I'm everywhere. You can also reach me at my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. Before I sign off, Steph, is there anything you want to leave the people with?
Man, that's it, man. I appreciate y'all for having me, man. Shout out to everybody out there listening, man. Keep rocking with my man. Let's keep going.
All right, I appreciate it. Well, everybody, thank you so much. Hey, happy MLK Day. Listen, this is what I need you to do for Martin Luther King Day. He had more than just I Have a Dream speech. He had more than that. So I really need you to go out and listen to the totality of Dr. Martin Luther King. Listen to the totality of Dr. Martin Luther King and listen to his later stuff. Because again, it's a lot closer, or, you know, they don't, it's reasons why, and you know, just like he said, there's reason why they kept Black Wall Street out the textbooks. There's reasons why they kept other speeches out the textbook, and I'll just leave it at that. So with all that being said, I just want to say to tell everybody, this is Ken's or the Ken's Corner podcast. I'd like to leave you with, I love, I trust, and respect you. This is Ken, and I am out.